Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
Wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And I think I'm going to get some pushback on making this the very first thing that I want to talk about. But did you,
I love it.
Did you not think that the ads during Dynamite last night were pretty weird?
Well, I mean, I see Nugenics all the week
on TNT.
Yes,
yeah. I watch the show every week. I don't see that ad.
That's weird that it's targeted because, I see that Nugenics ad 2 to 3 times an episode of Dynamite.
This was a whole new slate of ads that I'd never seen before, and I was like, "What did they sell? Some like different ad spots because they have so many." Attendees at Arthur Ashe, like, what is the deal here? But I think they're disturbing. It's like when I'm watching wrestling, I don't want to hear this, like, are you not virile enough? I'll turn you into a man with Nugenics.
You turn 40 and now Eugenics will give you testosterone,
which again sounds like Eugenics.
It does. Yeah, I do think it's like weird, and obviously it's a terrible name, but every time I see it, I'm like, well, you are marketing to the right audience. I can't fault you.
I guess.
It's always embarrassing when you're watching a show and the ads are very targeted for you and you're like, shut up. But I know. This is like the opposite of
this
that.
This is the opposite. Nice. I think I've never seen an ad that was targeted at me except during wrestling, except maybe like the Airbnb ads. And even those, it's just that campaign that I think is so creepy where they do the like really sad covers that sound like they're a memorial.
It does sound like a humane society, like Sarah McLachlan. Yeah, kind of like someone's dog is dead, I think, usually.
No, but it's just that you should go to an Airbnb. Okay, well, that's interesting to know. I wonder what changed this week for me. I was watching on my TV and not my computer. I wonder if that changed it. Okay.
Your computer knows your demographic and your TV might not.
Well, I guess actually, because Josh did used to watch stuff on the TV, so maybe Apple TV is like, there is a man in this house. Like, not anymore, there's not. Okay. Also I call this the Business Insider section, just a brief check-in on what's going on with the network stuff. Rampage apparently is going to stay on TNT next year. Dynamite is still moving to TBS.
That's
interesting.
Very weird and interesting. I mean, not that interesting, I guess, but like,
I don't know what's playing on TBS at 10 PM on Friday. Like, I don't know what demographic or like not demographic, but what like competition zone you shift into.
Was it
there
like a sport that was going to be preempting them on TNT on Wednesday?
It's
so
hockey,
it?
I believe. TNT.
Yeah.
Got
so
hockey.
Then is it like not on Fridays?
I guess. I don't know what the like goal is of splitting them across two networks, but I guess maybe you reach more different.
Dynamite's their comedy show and Rampage is
I would love it if that's what they did and they were like, Dynamite is when we're very funny.
I think someone was like, probably in our group chat, was like, oh, Miro will continue to defend the TNT championship on Rampage, maybe. On Twitter. And I was like, oh, maybe they did think that the TBS very funny belt wasn't a good idea.
crazy. Well, I know like old WCW used to be on TNT, so TNT is like the historic wrestling network, so I feel like it's a little more, maybe that's why they want to keep Rampage there, so they got like a little foot in the door. I don't know. That's why they made a big deal about Sting being back on TNT or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And then my other Business Insider point is just that Full Gear is not going to be in St. Louis anymore. It's going to be in Minneapolis. And Spoiler alert, I do live in Minneapolis.
So what spell?
Jeff and I are pretty disappointed. Oh. I know that you jacked it from us because we were going to go to St. Louis. So although I think my parents might die if they have to watch my puppy for another weekend this fall. Oh, yeah. So it might be for the best.
Shasta put him through it, huh?
Yeah, they. My dad's texting me like, yeah, she's doing great. Just. Could you let me know what's her energy level like in the evenings? I just thought it's like it's still pretty high. Yeah,
high stays high.
Stays high kind of all day. Yeah. No, she really bonded with them, so it was worth it. But yeah, it was a little bit rough, I think. So.
Well, I'm interested, and I don't know. I feel a little like my city. You can. Are you just gonna go? Come here?
Yeah.
I guess I think I have to try, but I don't really have anyone to go with here. So, and I feel like it's like in normal times, you can just be like, come with me. But even though we are all vaccinated, I still feel like it's like you're taking on a little COVID load by being That's like, true. I'm going to go and I could get it. It's just harder to be like, you have no interest in this. Do you want to come and get COVID with me?
There's going to be like 10,000 people there.
Does that interest you?
Some of them won't be wearing their masks very well. I promise you that.
Yeah, probably lots of them, actually. You'll look around and you'll see all kinds of people where it's like, he has COVID. Yep.
I do feel like since I went and did not get COVID, I do feel a little bit invincible. I'm like, this vaccine in me is working amazingly.
It's really working. So. I did have a pretty rogue thought where I was like, this could go so wrong. Where I was like, maybe I'll post to Lex, the queer lesbian text-based dating app, and be like, does anyone want to go see some wrestling?
You should.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
So
that'd be a hot first date, and I want you to be an unaccompanied woman situation.
I know. I don't want to be male accompanied. That would be a real step backwards for me. No man can ever go to wrestling with me. This is my personal lesbian separatist movement. Yeah, I might do that. I think, you know, the vibe is dicey on there. But I could just try being like, does anyone watch wrestling? You know what I mean? Does anyone watch AEW?
Suck them in. Yeah.
Suck them in. Okay, I'll start low and suck them in. Well, I think this has been a really good segment. Let's move on to more panty talk. So Bryan Danielson had his wrestling debut on Dynamite this week versus Kenny Omega in what we know now is a dream match for many men. And the men, I think, were right to want it. It was very good.
Was extremely good. I feel like this is the part where like my ignorance of actual wrestling really comes into play, because I'm like, I was like I was not invested in that match particularly going in, but I was like very tense and very involved watching it. It was a really good, really entertaining match. I don't know why. I couldn't tell you what they were doing that made it more interesting than other matches.
Yeah. I don't know. It was kind of a new energy for Kenny, I thought, from like at least from recently. Because he was taking it fairly seriously, aside from his like weird walk out with Don Callis. But then once they started doing their interplay in the ring, it was like a serious situation. They weren't doing a lot of like, it wasn't like a spot fest thing. I also obviously am like, I don't know why it was good. I think they are both good at their jobs.
Has anybody ever said that Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega are pretty good at wrestling?
But that's just us. We're not afraid.
Go out on a real limb.
It was interesting. I mean, it was like, it was good and gripping and interesting.
Yeah.
Did anybody have like an idea going in about who they wanted to win or who they thought would win or if you thought it was going to be a draw?
Me and Sarah have a little routine before each episode where she names the card, because I never know who is wrestling, but she names the card and she makes me make a prediction on each one. And I genuinely was going back and forth. At first I thought it was a title match and I was like, oh, he's not going to drop the title on Dynamite. And she was like, no, it's not a title match. And I was like, oh, in that case, I literally have no idea.
Yeah, I kind of thought Bryan Danielson might win because it wasn't a title match, like just to kind of like even things out, because I assume Kenny would win the title for a while still. But also, like, Leah put a poll in our group chat to be like, who do you think will win? And I like didn't vote in it initially because I was like, I don't care. Like, it's fine.
I was going to be mad if Bryan Danielson won. I don't really know why. I was just like, that's not, you can't come in and be like, I'm the best and you have to fight me and then be the best and win. I was just like, I don't, that's not interesting to me. But I thought the draw was good. Leah, I think you mentioned that you were like, it was a little bit of a weak little time draw at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I also had a really good time for most of it, but I thought the ending was real, like, I thought they kind of botched the ending because the most fun about a time limit draw is when they start doing the countdown on the screen and the whole crowd starts chanting. And there's always like one last minute move that you think, is this going to be it? And then it doesn't work out. Like, that's the best. Instead, in this case, like, I don't, like, a dinky little bell rang and I don't, was Bryce the ref? I don't remember who the ref was, but they like tapped them on the shoulder and was like, all right, guys, well, we're all done there. We're all done here.
I like that they just kept wrestling because they were really furious at, you know, like there was a lot of furious energy. I was like, oh, this is compelling. Yeah,
they were real wound up by the end.
Couldn't get them off each other.
I didn't super mind the bell just because it felt different from other stuff. Like, sometimes I do feel like, you know, like the like, oh, we're getting him a last move and then at the last second it times out. Like, I don't know, it was just like a little bit interesting to me to do something different. But I mean, it was definitely more of a
it was anticlimactic. Yeah, it was a little bit of a vibe of like, no one was ever going to win and none of us thought anyone was ever going to win. And you just watch these men get incensed at each other and you'll like it. I was like, I did like
just
it.
Getting redder and redder. Their little chests more and more red.
What was happening? Now we can get into the interesting stuff, which is the sartorial choices and the hair and the chest looks. Bryan Danielson had so many broken blood vessels on his chest, or as I believe JR said, loose DNA. did not understand what he was trying to communicate there.
No spit and sweat and stuff.
Sure, but I mean, he did look legitimately quite messed up.
Yeah, he really did. They both looked just very wrecked by the end. I thought, like, it was pretty intense.
Wrestling takes it out of you, it turns out. And Bryan Danielson, as we said at the intro of the segment, did come out in panties. So everyone is wearing panties these days.
They're coming back.
I'm a little shocked at how many of all these new boys in their new panties.
I know. They're like, I don't want you to, maybe they'll go back to long boys later, but they're like, I need you to know I have the thighs. So I'll just, I'll lead with that. And then maybe later I'll cover them.
They're proud of their bodies. They've been working hard, you know, in their TV lead up.
Yeah, I just hate those panties sometimes. I mean, I don't know why. I don't just. Bryan Danielson, too, had a real. I think he has kind of like a throwback. I don't know, like early 20th century energy where it's like, so he has this kind of like, you could see him in a black and white like gym photo from 1923 and like he's wearing weirdly short shorts.
Weirdly, that's true. Even though like he has the muscles that people work out now instead of like the 20s muscles, but there is something like a little bit off where you see those
old. About the body.
Yeah, where you're like, I don't. Something went wrong here.
He could have been in the old-fashioned Navy. Like, I've had a lot of images of him from the past running through my head.
I still find him appealing, but there is something about his face and body that looks like somebody, like, it was like a kid's toy and the dad, like the night, you know, Christmas Eve is trying to put it together and it won't go together. And then they finally have to just kind of like jam some stuff together and it's not quite right, but it like fits ish.
Bryan, don't listen to this. It's you wrestle great and that's what really matters. And you have a very kind and stern energy, which I like.
Which I like a lot. Yeah.
And I was
very compelling on the mic. So good work.
Yeah. Good on the mic. And I was very excited. Honestly, for a lot of the match, I was thinking about this. I didn't realize from his little buns that he was wearing that he had this kind of like whatever the haircut that he had is called, that it was as short as it was basically. So then when he wrestled and he came out a little wet, he got a perfect, I mean, yeah. It's like the hair was in his face, but not scraggly. And then he could kind of sweep it around. I think I might be coming in and out on the mic because I'm moving around a lot to demonstrate this. I thought it looked great. I thought that was one of the better wrestling hairdos that I've seen.
It was just the right length. Yeah, I feel like it's so easy. Most wrestling hair looks stupid, and his looked good. And it looked good wet.
And Kenny looked pretty good, too, shockingly.
So Kenny's gear was pretty terrible. That little side flap was like making me lose my mind, but his hair looked fine.
Yeah. And then Nick Jackson also came out in a romp him that he'd worn before, but he wore it again. It's so short. I mean, I love it. I love the look.
I mean, Young Bucks are really killing it, and Adam Cole is really refusing to join in the Elite fun. And is he too vain to participate?
I don't know. I kind of like that. It's the vibes that he showed up and was like, "You are wearing what?" Well, no, from me, no. But that they just love Adam Cole. So they're like, okay, well, you don't have to, Adam, but it is kind of our thing.
I did want a BTE where Kenny like sat him down for the exact serious talk that he gave the Bucks right before they like right after they yeah, turned right. heel, when he was like, no more fringe, only fringe wildness.
We've got to get serious, boys. Okay, we also had the return of Cody. I know we did see him on Rampage fighting up the aisles, but right. This was like his return match from his break. He fought Malakai Black again, and he got booed, which I thought was interesting because Cody usually gets so many cheers that I think are very undeserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got booed pretty intensely, too.
And he kept giving the audience like a little look, and I couldn't quite tell whether he's a better actor than I thought or whether he was genuinely surprised.
I thought it was I never know with Cody because it's like he's been doing his Patriot act, this whole Homelander or whatever act this whole time that he seems to have thought was like good and that he was a good guy. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard for me to tell, like, could you have come around to the fact that actually it's deeply uncool to be a like super patriotic American,
that Homelander is not a good guy.
Right. He's actually the villain of the piece. I genuinely don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Cody, like I definitely hate him more because you feel like he is so aggressively being like, and I'm a good guy and a super patriot. Like you feel like it's like on a show when like the protagonist is really unpleasant, but like you feel like the show is like trying to make you like them too hard, you know, and then you're just like, no, they suck, like way worse. But I did feel like, are they just going to turn him heel? Because I feel like it's pretty embarrassing to get booed that hard if you're not.
Well, I did, as we already talked about it in our group chat, but it's like people are tweeting on Twitter, as they say, being like, Cody's not a heel or a face because he doesn't come out of a tunnel. Like, and it's just like, put it aside. The tunnels are a modern invention. Of course, we love them on our podcast, which we named after them. But like, it's a modern invention. Look at the character. And it's like, you still have an energy that people are feeling from you. And Cody was really pushing, like, I'm a positive figure. I'm like, I'm doing the right thing. Like, I fight for justice.
He's
in America.
Giving speeches about race relations in America.
Right. Like, no. You know. For one night only. I'm the American dream. It's like, this is interesting because it's like, I love that Malakai Black shows up, just beats on Cody left and right for no reason that he will explain, beats up all of Cody's family and friends, and then everyone is just like, yeah, he is cool. Like, we do like him more than you, obviously.
Like, he wins by spitting the most disgusting thing ever in Cody's face and gets enormous cheers. Everyone's like, yeah, you cheated. Fuck Cody.
I can't stop thinking about that being, like, symbiote goo, and which I love. But yeah, it's like, it's not, it's kind of like, if Cody doesn't look at the circumstances of this plot line as a character and think like, I'm pretty mad that people are mad at me for this, now I'm gonna be a bad guy .mp3, I don't like, what are we doing here? Right. Of course you should be mad. You're not right because you blow, but did this make sense? Do you think I got that?
I think you did. Yeah, no. But the thing is that like, with a lot of different characters, I would be like if this was happening to any of the elite or like any other characters, I'd be like, okay, something's coming. But with Cody, I'm just so unsure of what he thinks is happening that I'm like, yeah. I don't know that he's going to see this as a storyline and as a development in the storyline, or whether he's just going to be like, no, they will learn to love me. I will just make my cape another foot longer.
Once they've seen Roads to the Top.
I know. I do feel like the elite and most of the other people do seem very like self-aware about what they're doing. Whereas Cody, you just feel like, I don't think you understand how you're coming across. It will be interesting to see Roads to the Top and like how he talks about things for sure.
I'm very interested. And they keep showing those promos where he's being like, the thing about being a manager is people get mad at you and don't want to be your friend. And it's like, oh, because you're a manager or because of your personality? She said meanly.
Everyone talks about how much they want to hang out with Tony Khan backstage all the time. I'm just saying.
I know. The ultimate manager. It will definitely be interesting to see. I do find him very confusing. I think he continues to feel extremely divorced from the rest of the AEW cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. Whereas like so many of the other plot lines are like really intertwined with each other. And like Cody is always just like doing his thing that has nothing to do with anyone else. And that just kind of like sucks. It's, you know, it's not that interesting.
No,
it's not. Oh, we should say also that Malachi brought back his little shorts that we love.
Yes,
so we're
God.
Very pleased about that.
Yes, when he's in those tap shorts, Mama's happy.
Oh yeah.
CM Punk did another little mic tour. He came out and talked about whether or not it's like he was happy, but then everyone was mad at him for being happy, so now he's not happy. He's mad at them. Like, he's good on the mic. We have heard him do a lot of it.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they're starting to overdo it. Like, I really like him and he is really good on the mic, although it was, I said that last night, and then it occurred to me later. I was like, well, maybe if it was like a pre-tape thing, it would feel more like what everyone else does, whereas they can like trust him to just go out there with a mic and do it live or whatever.
Yeah,
so.
And I think people really want to see him, whereas like with the pre-tape stuff, they're like, yeah, they've seen you quite a bit, so it's fine that you're not there for them to see in person. But
yeah, I do feel like it's just like an awful lot of like CM Punk goes in front of the crowd and we watch people cheer for him like a lot, you know, so...
I guess it does, you know, it kind of makes sense in that, like, he himself has been like, eventually you guys won't want to cheer as much, but while you're cheering that much, I'll come out and be cheered for. And
I know. Like, okay, well, I feel like I've kind of hit eventually. I'm like, all right, now it's time to, like, fold it into, like, a more normal kind of thing.
Especially because I am excited for him to get into it with Team Taz. So I'm okay, get Ricky Starks out here, guys. Come on.
Yeah. You don't need like 10 full minutes of like CM Punk by himself talking about like people on Reddit are criticizing me about this, but actually, whatever. It's like, get Team Taz out there, like get something going on. Yeah.
Ricky Starks was so fucking funny on Sammy Guevara's blog this week that I accidentally subscribed. I couldn't help it. He and Chris Statlander were so funny that I was just like, oh, fuck it. They got me.
That
so now I'm
funny bit.
Subscribed to all the stupid vlogs.
There are a lot of very funny people at AEW, I'll say, which is
They're
great.
Comedy. They're comedy kids.
They're comedy kids.
Okay. So last week on Rampage, Britt Baker and Ruby Soho cut a little psychological promo together in the ring. A real barn burner.
It got brutal.
Yes.
Like, it's so funny that the men's promos are like, and you're stupid and you're ugly. And Britt and Ruby were like, your mother didn't love you. And I think that you have a deep well of insecurity that is constantly bubbling up.
Yeah. This is like, women know how to get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When Ruby was like, and you're banging some guy in the back, that was great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And this was, and I will say, because it's not that we never see it from the men. I'm like, someone has to stand up for the men. That's not what I mean. Sure. But I'm just, because I'm going to say that when we were watching it, I said, this reminds me of the Ethan Page Darby Allin promo, which was so good. And it was the same reason this one was so good, because of the specificity of being like, I have a specific relationship with you that I am now showing people part of, or you know.
And like, it sort of blurs the shoot and kayfabe too, where it feels like it's pretty personal in a way that's like off screen too.
Right.
Yeah.
which is what you, it's like that, and that can be a beautiful act. I love that act, but I want it to feel realistic that I'm yeah. like, you guys have history and yeah. it's complicated history and you think complicated things about each other. And that's, you know, that's why, like, when you get promos that don't have that specificity, it's just like, okay, yeah, well, it's a cut and paste. Like, yeah. this could be anybody, but this was really like, no, this couldn't be anybody. Yeah. You guys are talking about specific things that you are annoyed with each other about.
I want to feel like, yeah, like this was probably pre-prepped. Like, you guys know what you're going to say and you agreed to it. So it's all safe. But also you might have really hurt each other's feelings. And that's kind of electrifying.
Oh, my God. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Yeah. And they definitely achieved that. Yeah. And as I also said, and I think this was a real insight from me, they are doing full Deb and Gina from Empire Records energy.
Yeah.
Where it is very cool, beautiful, like... girl's girl gets with all the guys that she wants versus loner loser angry girl
punk freak.
I mean, it's classic. I know. For a reason.
It's good. It really, it feels very high school in a very appealing way. The same yeah. way that actually Ethan and Darby did a little bit.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Like, those are visceral emotions. Those yeah. high school emotions.
It's back to high school.
It's very funny to be like, what I thought you were just saying, and I was ready to agree with that Ethan and Darby are also Deb and Gina.
That is right.
Yeah, they are.
That
wow.
literally
yeah,
is no, right. That's
completely right.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Same
in
dynamic.
Your mind.
All I want is for a beautiful, popular kid and a weird goth freak to get into it.
Yeah.
That's what women want, Dave Meltzer.
That's what women want. Dave.
Are you listening?
Dave and the entire wrestling universe, are you listening? We want Empire Records, but in the ring. Then on Dynamite, they had their fight. And does anybody else want to kind of get into it? It was, yeah.
Can we talk first about Ruby Soho's gear? Because
oh,
she's so cool, but it also is extremely weird looking. But also she's so cool. But every time I stared at it, I saw something new and was like, how is that being held together? What is happening here?
And that's how you know it's like, it's cool, but it's not like right. That's what yeah. makes it cool, kind of. You know, it's just like, wow, you did that yourself. You didn't yeah. get that from Hot Topic.
No.
You put this together.
I mean, it was denim. It was denim with like patches.
I think it was denim patches patched together.
It's yeah, together. Like, there was some structural integrity that, was concerning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very cool. Yeah,
she does a cool. In the promo, I don't think she was wearing it on Dynamite, but in the promo when she had like the beanie on, I'm like, the beanie is really a pivotal little touch.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
that's she, cool.
And she knows she looks good in the beanie, which is like a real problem for me.
Yeah, but it's like, it's like I'm seeing you outside the, you know, like the local concert venue. She said like an elderly, you know, the concert venue.
The local concert
just
venue.
Just see her on the street outside the concert venue. She's been seeing a show. Anyway, they got, how long did you say the match was, Leah? It was 13 minutes.
13 minutes, I think.
Which felt a little short compared to, it was a,
yeah.
I guess it's like, Omega and Danielson had a really long match. That was a
they
half hour.
Yep.
And
yeah.
then everything else also, not in a bad way, like I wasn't bored, but also felt kind of long. Mm-hmm. Like it just felt like a lot of like meaty matches. So this mm-hmm. one seemed a little light comparatively, which yeah. I don't know if it is right.
Yeah. And for the main event too, I like as things were going on, I'm like, how much time are they leaving for that? Like I was definitely getting concerned around the 9:30 mark. And yeah, it seemed a little shortchanged, but I don't know. It was a good match though.
It was good. The dynamics continued to be good. And it felt like the kind of match that you have where it's just like, this isn't remotely over. So we're giving you a taste of what
yeah.
you could continue to get as we build this, which is what you want when the dynamic is that good.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah. okay, yeah, give me more later. Give me teaser trailer. And then I can't wait to watch the full movie.
It's really true. Ruby's song so good too. I get it like in my head so much. Yeah. And then I get very like, do I like Rancid? Because I've never really listened to Rancid, but I assumed I didn't like them, but maybe I do.
It's true. And I didn't really get into this the last time we brought up that it was a Rancid song, where I'm like, that's not what I thought Rancid sounded
no,
like.
No, me neither. Yeah. Is this an outlier? We're going to have to do some investigation.
We're next week, we come in and we're like, so we're all Rancid girls now.
We're a Rancid podcast. It's Rancid in 2.0. Yeah. And then they got pitcher and pitchered during it, which I think should be illegal in the last 15 minutes. Don't show
really
me a fucking commercial. I don't want to see it.
It's like between 9:45 and 10, that's like we're past the commercial point. And if the main event is only 13 minutes
like,
long,
Tony,
there shouldn't be a picture in picture.
Buy the commercial slots with your pocket change. I can't see them right now.
No, this is no time for Nugenics.
In the middle, to have picture in picture and someone is being like, that'll make you viral. Well, I think it's like they say, like, that'll make me a man. Like, just something really crazy where it's like, I'm trying to watch something for women right now.
It's for women. I'm watching women's.
Do you understand that? Do you understand what it means for something to be for women? Also during this match, JR called Reba and Jamie Hayter Jezebels.
Jezebels on the side of the ring or something like that. And I was like, did he really just say that?
He'll like go like the whole match being very careful, and then he'll just break out something like that like every time, and it's just like, JR, maybe sit out a women's match. Like, let's get Eddie Kingston out here for this one.
It made me feel like I actually should be keeping a running list of the various like that's guys being a bad guy names that get used for guys and girls, and figure out like what actually is in the list of like acceptable vocabulary, because I did wonder, I'm like, do you have a list, JR? Like, did they give you a list of like, you can't say this,
oh, and they did,
this
forgot
is borderline, this
they
we would it. Never have thought of.
He should be out there calling Matt Jackson a Jezebel. I'd be very
oh my
on
god
board for
I
that.
Matt Jackson is a Jezebel, that's right.
If he needs to say it, get it
please,
out there.
I honestly, please do say it then. I mean that you are, it is permitted. Whew. Okay, well, speaking of Jezebels, no. But MJF fought Brian Pillman Jr. on Dynamite, and he won. A couple of discussion points, so I want to start with this one. I have described Brian Pillman Jr. as having a puppy boy body. Does anybody know what I'm saying here? Like, do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. I do, absolutely.
Yeah. I like couldn't articulate unformed. It, but it's right. Yeah.
It's just puppy that, boy. Like, it's that slightly, like, puffed up look of just like, I'm a boy, like
it's like his fur is still a little too fluffy.
Yeah.
That I was soft baby fur,
thinking about it while he was like laying into MJF right away, being like, I've got so much energy, and I was like, oh, that's a puppy that would drive your parents crazy, you know.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like, oh, I've got to take care of little Brian for the week,
a full week. And Griff Garrison is a real golden retriever, so that's a real golden retriever little game.
Yeah. Just two little doggy boys.
Medium call out for my friend here. Sarah, when we were watching this, said to herself in like a quiet voice, his mullet does not look as good as it usually does. As it usually does.
I mean, if she's comparing it to last week, she's right. Because I think the mullet looked good last week.
It looked very
shirt.
Shaggy this time.
Well,
it didn't look right.
Maybe
I think
Cleveland
usually
glow.
It doesn't look good, but.
But now he's on the road again, so he doesn't have
his
all
$100
of his
hair products. Does he have to check a bag for all his hair products? That's
and
question.
He wouldn't be as silly as Matt Jackson. He would never put those expensive hair products in the checked bag. Oh, you have to. You literally have to. Great. It's been a little while since I flew. You can tell. But something else going on in this match. Does anyone remember exactly how this happened? Julia Hart was involved.
So they came out to, I think, like Matt Jackson was there, as we all know.
I wish.
MJF ended up outside the ring, and like Julia like rushed him, and he started yelling at her, and then they were going back and forth, and he stuck his face out. He was like, hit me, and she gave him like the goofiest little slap to the face, where she was like, ah.
I'm just a girl.
I'm just a little girl.
Julia, you're a fucking wrestler.
You're a wrestler. What the hell? Like, that was the point. Punch him.
They're flirting with intergender all the time, and it's like, it always is so like good in the moment before you think something is going to happen, and then when whatever like happens that isn't full on like male women man on woman brawling. it's so disappointing. It's just like, I know. Oh God, well, don't even bother. Don't do this to me.
I know. And with Julia Hart too, it's like, I think the cheerleader gimmick is kind of, in some ways, it's good for her because she like looks exactly like that, like it's right, but like I wish she'd be like a little more subversive with it instead of just kind of doing a straight cheerleader.
Yeah,
I know. I know.
Try being this a gay cheerleader, Julia.
Yeah,
give us a little something.
This is unfair, but I still keep thinking it, that every time she's on my screen I'm like, Julia Hart sets us back 30 years. It's not right. I like know. It's too mean, but it's also,
but it's sort of how it feels. Yeah. Though it just seems like, like, because Brit's doing like that kind of, like when we're talking about her and Ruby Soho, it's like she's that high school girl, but she's doing like such a mean, interesting version of it, you know?
Right. And Ty Conti is doing like the sweetheart, like I'm a nice girl thing. And she still is like, I will also kill you, you know?
Well, they, and they both do the thing where, and I actually, am, as I'm saying this, I'm like not sure that I've ever quite seen it with Ty Conti, but I think that she can and will get there. They'll both do the thing where you reach a moment in a match where it's like, you don't give a shit how you look anymore. Like you are ready to mess yourself up because you're in it to win it. And Julia Hart, we are not there. And I think that partly is because it's like, obviously she's a less developed wrestler. Like she's not in matches where you get and she's to like, that point.
Yeah. And she's like 19 too, which is like, when you're 19, you're a lot more worried about how you look than when you're 10 years older.
Yeah.
Or 20 years older.
Well, I mean, I think I would be less critical of her herself if they didn't keep putting her in situations where the storyline is that a big bad heel is menacing her and she can't do anything about it.
Right. She is specifically like, singling her out as the girl who's there. Like, it is just kind of like, oh God, whose idea is this? Like, who keeps saying that we should do this? Because it like really didn't go well last time. And like, I don't think it's going to go that well this time either.
I know. Yeah. It feels like they're going to like literally put her in King Kong's fist or something and have her climb the Empire State Building. It's just like, come on.
Like, the Maxes are just going to have a fight. Like, it's like over Julia, but it's not about Julia. I don't know. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't like it. But MJF did good wrestling, and it's good to see him wrestle anyone who isn't Chris Jericho.
I know.
I love it.
Amazing. Yeah. It's like, I'm delighted by him again instead of like, oh God, get this off my screen.
Well, and it's very funny that I, like, the past few weeks have been like, wow, MJF is being so mean. And it's like, in a kind of a good way, where I'm like, oh, he's doing his real nasty heel stuff. And then I'm just like, well, he was being mean to Chris Jericho. I just didn't care because they'd been saying the same mean stuff to each other for so long. And it's like, yeah, I get it. Like, you guys have some problems that you're afraid to work out in therapy.
Yeah.
So when he's just doing it some more at random people, it's like, oh, right, you're a bad guy.
Get some new insults in there. Yeah.
Honestly, the addition of his parents flipping him off really elevated yesterday, or Dynamite. Like, just the fact that his parents are 100% behind this gimmick and are like, you know, yeah, he fucking sucks is amazing.
It's very cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's great. Jericho and Jake Hager are going to fight Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky in a match that somehow involves MMA and potentially other MMA goons that we may or may not have seen. I don't know. I'm not really clear on what's going to happen. I just know that I don't love this for anyone.
I do feel like they need to get over MMA. It's like, it feels very like,
stop,
we're real
trying
too
to make
it's
MMA
like, stop
happen.
It. Yeah. Like, you guys are better than MMA and embrace that.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if it is because it's like Jake Hager clearly has an interest in MMA, and I guess it's nice that they are letting people explore interests, and there's like, anytime you can get a little cross synergy, I assume they like that because they do it all the time. So I guess I vaguely understand what's going on. I just agree I don't want it and don't need it.
Yeah. It was weird to see Jake Hager doing like an actual promo where he talked like in an animated way.
And he made like, me laugh. Like, the guy, when laugh, he was like, the men of the year, more like the boys of the week. Jake Hager, that was a like, good one.
Good one, buddy. I know.
Like, and they are my boys of the week. Yeah, I actually think that he and Chris Jericho both brought, honestly, like a pretty good energy to this promo. Like, this was, again, Chris Jericho is cutting better promos, not against MJF. Like, they were really energy vampiring each other somehow.
Yeah.
Like, bringing a little too much to the table, that can be dangerous in theater, you know? So, I do think, though, that, and I am unafraid to say it, AEW is desexualizing Ethan Page.
I know.
And it's like they don't want me to see him in his natural habitat of like bullying someone smaller than him.
Who would be your ideal next twink for him to menace?
I don't know.
It's Jungle like, Boy?
I mean, I would love to watch Ethan Page menace Jungle Boy.
I'm intrigued.
Because Jungle Boy would be so confused about it. Like, that's the thing is that, like, it would be great to have someone who's just kind of running circles around Jungle Boy. And then, like, Jungle Boy goes to step and he trips because it was a string that got wound around him. And he's just like, why are you being mean to me? But I don't like it. But I don't understand what it is about me.
That'd be good for me. Like, Marco Stunt has to explain to Jungle Boy what was said to him.
Yeah, I know. That was an insult, man. That was really insulting.
It was pretty mean. I know. It's like, I don't like mind the MMA guy who they've got being Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky's manager, but it does feel like a waste because like Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page are really good at like doing their
own. They don't need
talking.
Someone to talk for them.
Yeah.
They don't need someone to talk for them.
I don't understand why they got paired up with this guy. Like, I think his little dumb, like, Jim Cornette bit is like fine, but like, it's just, I don't think it should be with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're interested in MMA. I guess that's like the secret thing that sometimes is going on is that like
maybe
probably lots of the time is that the wrestlers are like, I think this is cool. And it's like, this is not what I see for you. But
I know.
I guess
Ethan
it's
Page
your
talking about all his martial arts belts. I assume that's real.
Oh, I don't know. I have no I memory hold whatever he said about MMA. I don't want to see it. I want to see Ethan Page have a specific feud with a smaller man.
Him and Darby was just so good.
I just
want like,
it back.
Feels wasted anytime that he's not doing that.
I know that you guys are not haunting TikTok the way I am, but there's a TikTok trend going around that's with a sound from a song probably on the radio. I'm sure I should know it. Where it's like sometimes all I think about is you, and then it's like, you know, anyway, that's me and Ethan Page and Darby Allin. It is sometimes all I think about is you.
Nice. You should start making TikToks, wrestling TikToks.
Honestly, I think I'd be pretty good at it. And I'll get
I'd
a
watch
job
all
with
of them.
AEW.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a Tunnel Talk TikTok account. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
You can run that one.
That's literally what I'm saying. If you think that I'm going to trust you with the TikTok ideas that I have running around this little brain.
I can't compete on that platform.
No.
This is unrelated, but the Kentucky Democratic Party, it's like the state Senate Democratic Party, has like a TikTok account that has been going very viral, but the Senate minority leader went to like elementary through high school with me. So it's all just like this dude I went to school with, like doing dumb dances in a suit and tie. And then they get a million views on TikTok.
Wow. I know that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think you should make that TikTok though. For Tunnel Talk.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make it. I'll make it.
Sweet.
That's fine. I can do that. So a couple people got demasked on TV this week. When was that? This must have been on Rampage that the Lucha Brothers fought the Butcher and the Blade. Mm-hmm. Don't remember a lot about this match for some reason. No. But there was a culminating moment where, what did they? It's like the Butcher and the Blade had like tied Penta's mask to the post, and then he had to like slip out of his mask to come rescue Phoenix. Is that what happened?
Yeah. He like pulled his own mask off to get away. Yeah. So he could save his brother.
Demasked.
I know. Which is like very dramatic, but I do feel like there's been so much demasking that it lost a little bit of its impact.
Yeah.
But.
And like borderline, like when we see Sting's face paint come off, it's like,
right.
That's inappropriate. We shouldn't
exactly.
Be doing that kind of thing.
Same thing.
And then at the end of that match, Proud and Powerful came out and had to defend the Lucha Brothers for another reason I don't remember. Do you like I didn't look any of this up? I was just like into the
Not
schedule
important.
It goes. I don't have the time. which was very funny because I had the same response as somebody on Twitter who was like, they had to turn face before they came to New York because they're fighting in New York and the people are going to be really into them. And I was like, yeah, that's right. They had to do a face thing so people knew they were faces. And then I was like, they've been faces this whole time. Like,
this is the thing where people need to take, like, those guys saying that like Cody isn't a face or a heel because there's no tunnels. It's like, no, the Inner Circle's been coming out of the face tunnel, but they're not faces and we all know it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's about the energy. Like, we can read the energy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then also this week on, I think this was on Elevation, Evil Uno unmasked Alan V. Angels.
Yes.
Which is a real dark little Dark Order development.
And but it was so like, cute.
He was okay. Super cute. Yeah. Wow.
No, he was.
Could we wean you off Sean Spears with Alan V. Angels?
I'd love that. Yeah. He was super cute. And he, like, unlike most of the unmasked guys who, like, cover their faces because they're real luchadors, he, like, was just like, well, everyone's seeing my face now, like, as though he's going to go unmasked in the future, which he should because he's super cute.
Yeah, I think he put it back on after that, and I did feel more safe once it was back. Like, I was like, that's the man I don't recognize. Ah, that's the man that I can never pick out of a lineup because I confuse him with another man all the time. But I did feel like, oh, I need that mask on you. That's just what I'm used to.
It does make me laugh that Tenton apparently goes without his mask on social media all the time. But every time I've seen him, I'm like, this man is a butterface. He actually does need to wear that mask. Oh, and no. The mask is terrible. It's like a Joker mask. But I'm like, yeah, you should put that on. It's not a good face. You have a good body and not a good face.
Getting burned this week.
I know. His face, though, it is like sometimes it'll look cute, but then often it's kind of just like bulbous. It looks put together wrong.
It's not right.
It's like, and I know this is not good to say, but as you're talking about this, I'm like, who is Ten? I've never seen him. I don't know what he looks like with his mask on or with his mask.
His mask is super horrible. It's white and there's like big red lips.
Okay. I know that guy.
Yeah, it's Jokery.
Oh, I know that guy.
He's the one that does all the cocaine. The cocaine.
Oh, that's not what's going to get me there, but yeah, I know the white mask. I believe, and I think I didn't see this, so Leah, you will have to report on this, because I was just catching up on my dark before the show, but I'm only halfway through the hour and 45 minutes.
It was so long.
Sometimes it's a little too... When they do a tight 45 to an hour for the dark and Elevation, mwah, mama love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
But when we get into that hour and a half, hour 45 zone, it's like, you are... I love this. I love the products you make for me. But you have me now four nights of the week. Okay? So you need to let up a little and you need to give me some time to develop my life.
The fifth night of the week we're doing this podcast too. So.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah, we're on the podcast right now. So it's like I have to have a life outside of you, AEW.
We need time to develop some of these takes that we're spitting.
Exactly.
Give us this half a second to think about the mean things we want to say about men's faces and bodies.
We're just blindly insulting. We don't even get to sit down and sit with our feelings. But Leah, I believe you said that Alan Angels fought Daniel Garcia, whom my heart is softened to. Dun, dun. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. Yes, he did. And I really, really enjoyed 2.0 just circled the outside, slapping their hands down and like just they just looked so demented, being like, that's our boy. That's our boy.
I love it. I mean, those are good, so good dads. Mm-hmm. And they successfully defended their BTE belt against Colt on Being the Elite this week.
They did so good.
They did so good. They knocked over the bottles in half the number of throws.
Half.
I was going to say Colt really sucked it up, but I guess if you want to put a positive spin on it.
I do want to put a positive spin on it, which is that our sons did an amazing job of throwing and of supporting each other. And that's something I love about 2.0. They gas each other up.
Oh, yeah.
Good for them.
When one wins, they both win.
Yeah. And Jeff said, we're never going to lose this belt. And I said, that's right.
And I hope they don't.
I hope they never do. I hope they get to fight best friends, though. I mean, come on. Guys, I haven't seen you try to get that BTE belt in a hot minute. Without Greg, you're nothing. You refuse
to
compete.
That's true. Greg's the only winner in that group. Yeah. as you mentioned it. Everyone else loses those competitions real fast.
They're not even bothering to compete. They're just
know,
so busy. Because
they know they'll lose.
Doing whatever they do. Yeah.
It was always
whatever it is they do.
It was so perfect that Greg was like, I don't care about this belt. I hate this belt. It's so stupid. And the moment he lost it, he was like, I want it back.
I want it back. Well, Greg, come keep eating all those egg whites and healing your neck. And
oh, by the way, he's definitely like helping with those Ryan Nemeth cream things, right? Like, I'm pretty sure he was doing a voiceover this week on BTE.
I skip them.
Yeah. Well, Greg's helping out with them, so if you were supporting,
that makes absolute sense because of those videos that I know I've mentioned on the pod before that I can't remember the name of. That Greg did that were absolutely insane, where it's like he's like appearing and disappearing in a car and turning into an eggplant. And like, the man has a demented little artistic sensibility that you can see in every frame of those cream things. But I skipped a lot of the videos that Greg made too, because I thought, it's not for me.
Yeah,
and right. That's how I feel about cream. And I would watch it if a man that I love was in it. So,
yeah. I mean, that's fair enough.
Yeah. And Greg's voice is not enough to tempt me.
It's not enough. I need to see him. I need to see him in his beautiful titties.
He was funny with his voiceover because he said,
"Okay,
Ryan's girlfriend Michelle got her head chopped off." So,
oh, but yeah, top tier comedy. Oh, yeah. Well, I will go back and watch that. I was really mostly watching for. Oh, actually, Nick went shoe shopping, so I enjoyed that on BTE as well.
Just the top tier content.
Yeah. Let's talk about what is going on with Sunny and Joey. So, as we all remember, Sunny and Joey went back and forth about whether or not Joey was becoming a bad guy again, and then eventually he did become a bad guy. And last week, Sunny cut a little promo being like, you're really mean, and you have not been, and you have not been nice, but that is okay because I'm fine. Would you say that was kind of the gist of it?
That was exactly it. He also cracked me up because there was a moment where he was like, and I don't know what's going on with Joey, and I was like, none of us do. We're supposed to know what's going on with Joey, but none of us understand this,
right? No. I'd love it if I even had a little inkling of what was going on with Joey. I like on commentary this week. So then Sunny and Joey fought this week on Elevation. Mm-hmm. And Sunny won, which was great. And Sunny looked so cool and strong in the match. Like, it was a really good match.
He's gotten a lot better.
I think I forgot that we watched that together. And that I, at the time, was like, it actually is. This is one of the clearest examples to me of, we've been watching this for a year and I've seen this person improve so much in that time. I don't remember what I was talking about. Oh, the commentary tried to be like, ever since Joey's been hanging out with his new goon, whose name I can't remember, starts with a K.
Shit, I should know it and I don't.
I don't know yet. You guys know how long it takes us to get these names down. So, but ever since he's been hanging out with her, he's just been doing something weird. It wasn't JR. I don't know why I'm doing JR's voice. But it's just the only commentator who has a voice to do. But, and I was just like, that's interesting. You're creating a story that I would say Joey has not created for us. You're kind of like reading a story onto this that I've gotten no other information about.
Right.
It's crazy because it should be so easy to make a story about Sunny and Joey having a falling out. And I don't know why they're not just
especially
doing one.
It's like Sunny has improved so much. So that changes the dynamic where it's like, initially, this is someone you took in under your wing. Like, you're teaching her, you're training her. Like, now, like, the student is becoming better and you feel insecure and blah, 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 blah. It's just not hard to do, guys.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Put in a little effort into these dark storylines. Like, come on.
Yeah, come on. Darby and Sting fought FTR. It was good. It was fine. It was fine.
FTR. I know. Sting and Darby were great.
Sting and Darby were great. I do just always enjoy watching them. They came out in their really angry face paint. I mean, not happy boys.
It was special face paint.
They were doing a lot of stuff that I do like when they do, where like they're having private silent arguments about like, let me handle this, no, I can step in, let me do this. Like, I like when they do their little like, okay, you go do it, but just this once, and then I'll come get them later, dad stuff. I enjoy that. FTR is nothing to me. Are Sting and Tully gonna have a fight? Did I make that up?
I do think that that is what's being threatened at us. I am like, the amount of wrestlers that I like that I don't get to see wrestle, and you're gonna make me watch Sting and Tully?
I know. And then be concerned that they're going to permanently hurt each other. Like, have them do arm wrestling on BTE or something. Yeah, like,
no. It, but it's like, I think Sting can handle it, but.
Well, Tully? Yeah, but. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay.
I feel like this is for the men who were fans a long time
ago. Yeah. And I guess they do. I think they must be having some stuff going on right now where they're like, we've gotten an influx of viewers because of certain things that we're doing. And so now we're trying to find ways to court those viewers further. I don't really know.
I need to see more Best Friends and OC wrestling on the television and less of FTR and Tully. That's my thoughts on that.
Well, yes, that's shocking. That's controversial.
I know. Oh, yeah. I don't know if we can say that in the disagreement. But.
Marjorie, could you cut that? It's too spicy.
Fuego de Sol did fight Miro on Rampage last week and lost, which I think surprised nobody.
Right.
He lost his, I believe, Honda Civic or Hyundai.
I think it might have been a Hyundai. I thought it was a Honda Civic the first time I saw it, and then I saw it again, and I was like, the little H is a little slanted. So
I can't identify any cars and wasn't paying that much attention. So, yeah, Hyundai. But he did do some very funny tweets about needing a ride after that match, which I loved. And it seems like that was kind of in service of Sammy challenging Miro as Fuego's best friend for his and his car's honor. And now he will fight Miro, which is absolutely in line with what Miro loves to do. So
I do like Sammy and Fuego's friendship, so that's like good. I do, but too. I do feel like Miro is pretty obvious. It's like they can't find anyone to fight him who's appropriate, is what it seems like. Like, Eddie Kingston was good, and other than that, it's just like, you guys don't seem to know what to do with Miro.
I think they're just letting him have a run. Like, it seems like they're like, we're gonna let you be big strong man who is squashing boys. Mm-hmm. And so they're just letting all the boys have a crack at it, and that's okay, and I don't mind it. I think Sammy will be a funny one because I think he's so acrobatic and he is a really good wrestler. She said, unfortunately, you know. I agree he is. So he'll do a real like fly that you can't get rid of thing, you know what I mean, where it's like he's all over the place and buzzing. Yeah. And Miro's getting like, I'm a big gangry giant. That's my guess. I think that's what could happen in that match.
I do think that Sammy will be a lot more a better match than for Miro than Fuego, but yeah.
I don't think he will win, but he could. I mean, it's not impossible. I think he's I don't think he will, but never say never. Any final thoughts from anybody?
Miro just
that?
Continues to crack me up with his he serves his god in the day and his hot wife at night kind of thing, or his god demands pain and his wife demands pleasure.
He is so horny. He is just as horny as Max Caster, but mm-hmm. he is allowed to say everything that he says.
Once your relationship is sanctioned by the state, you know, you can say anything.
This is homophobia, actually. Max Caster is talking about, he's trying to scissor men on stage, and he gets
if he
shot
married
down.
One of those men, he could scissor them all he wanted, I think.
Okay, I'm going to DM Max Caster and let him know that that's the case and just see what happens, because I would not put it past him. If they have a show in Vegas.
Love it. Oh, man. Max Caster should totally get married in Vegas too. Another wrestler.
I don't know which one, but I'd love to find out. Max, you tell. Oh, I guess he wants to marry MJF. So.
Oh yeah, they should totally get married in
would
Vegas.
Love that.
I'd love
for
it.
Them.
Yeah,
they do seem like I can see MJF getting like just like tricked into it. Well,
yeah, and then he'd be so mad afterwards.
Okay, guys,
yeah.
I have a plan. It's five labors of Jericho. Except it's like the labors to marry MJF.
Marry MJF. Well, you don't need any labors to have a Vegas wedding. They'll let you do it at a drive-through.
I think they should.
I know,
get
but
married
I was thinking about
there
content.
There's
the labors
five
to
labors to divorce, exactly.
Yes,
yep.
That is exactly
MJF
it.
MJF has to go through a lot to
MJF has to go through. That's right, agreement. Because Max Caster says I'll only divorce you if you win the five labors.
Yep, exactly.
So good. Max, if you are listening, this is right up your alley.
This is gold.
Genuinely.
Both
this is
of
gold.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew. And then in the Best Friend cinematic universe this week, Matt Hardy shaved one of OC's fans' heads on stage. So I think we know that this fan is works in the costume department or something. I don't know what they're called at AEW. Works at AEW and sacrificed his hair nobly for the cause of this bit, which I really appreciate. And I liked the man very much, honestly. And OC arrived too late to do anything about it.
He was walking as slowly as he could. He tried to get here.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, he did. He stayed in character and did not do anything. But he did look really kind of mad and noble when he came out, which you know, a hot boy. I liked.
Hot boy OC.
He is looking really good. I mean, and he knows it. Sexy, yeah. And he knows it.
He's been doing a lot of press for this Grand Slam stuff, too, which is just super funny because he, like, won't participate. And it's
Well, they put him on this. They sent him to the Major League Baseball Network or whatever with Anthony Bowens, which is the funniest pair that I would never have thought of, where Anthony Bowens apparently interned at the MLB Network or whatever. So he's just cheerfully like, I mean, that's a sweet boy who's just like, I love to do press for my company that I love, and here I am, and back where I used to be, and blah, blah, blah. And OC just... Give us nothing, King.
Sat with his legs like spread up over the couch, and then halfway through the show was like, oh, I just realized this is a baseball show.
Yeah. And then perhaps most importantly in Best Friends Cinematic Universe news, Chris and Greg did have a little Twitter exchange about the question of where underwater tunnels are located. And I don't think we solved it. I think, well, maybe we did. Did we solve it in our group chat? They're both sometimes in the water, but sometimes under the ground, under the water.
I honestly always thought they were under the ground, under the water, but I guess maybe in New York, sometimes they're buried in the silt under the water.
Is that what did Chris say that she thought?
Chris always thought that she was like, I just found out that underwater tunnels are not actually underwater. Is what she said, which like it's a little unclear as to what she meant, but I assume she thought they meant what like they went through the water, which is crazy when you think about it. Like
I was envisioning that she thought that the tunnels were just sort of floating like through, and she's just like whoa,
under on the bottom or something.
I guess I try not to think about it. Like I'm trying to think like what did I think, and it was like I guess I thought in the ground under the water, but I haven't been through that many. Where it felt like really relevant. What tunnels have I been through? I have been through Excalibur, hopped in to be like, sometimes tunnels go through mountains. And actually I've driven back to the East Coast through Pennsylvania a lot. And you do go through all the mountains in the Appalachians. That's a little, for me, a check mark of like, I have this much time left. So I've been through quite a few of those.
I've definitely gone through more mountain tunnels than underwater tunnels.
Mountain tunnels are fun and like kind of scary fun in a way. And I like them.
Yeah. And this is Tunnel Talk.
Finally. Our final form. It's Tunnels 2.0 and Rancid. Does anyone have anything they desperately have to say before we wrap up?
I'm really ready for Hangman to come back, and I'm concerned that he hasn't yet. Like, I hope nothing has gone wrong with his wife or baby.
I don't know what's going on with him, but I also want him back. It does not seem really like it's going to be for full gear.
No,
like there's not enough of a runway. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out.
The beginning of November, right? I guess it got pushed back a week, but like, yeah, it's like not even 2 months.
He could show up and not like have like a storyline, but he could just like run in at full gear, maybe.
Yeah,
that
at
would
this
be
point, maybe he will.
I think he could come back at full gear and it could launch for like the next PPV cycle, but I don't I don't know. Well, I do hope that he comes back soon, and I hope everything is okay with him.
Yeah.
I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. What did I tell people to email about this week? Don't know. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and come back next week.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Whirlpool kitchen appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your kitchen's unique needs and style. Shop Whirlpool 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.